The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you for being here this morning. You know, I realize his time is limited because he will leave Congress this coming January, Trey Gowdy. And so I realized I didn't play part of his opening statement. I played part of the back and forth, but I didn't.
Right.
And so I got to play part of his opening statement,
sure.
Don't I?
I think it's always worth hearing. Yeah.
It's almost like required.
I think it is.
All right. So here you go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our justice system, we give law enforcement officers incredible powers. The power to investigate, to search, to seize, to stop. The power to allege and accuse, the power to eavesdrop and intercept private communications, the power to look through bank records, the power to look through phone records, the power to even check what books you checked out of the library. These are awesome powers that must be used responsibly because those powers affect reputations and freedom. These awesome powers are given a correspondingly high expectation that these powers will be used fairly, lawfully, professionally, and in a manner worthy of our respect. About 2 weeks ago, FBI agent Peter Strzok was interviewed for more than 10 hours. We learned that Agent Strzok has a most unusual and largely self-serving definition of bias. Agent Strzok, despite the plain language of his text and emails, despite the Inspector General's report, and despite common sense, doesn't think he was biased. He thinks calling someone destabilizing for the country isn't bias. He thinks promising to protect the country from someone he hasn't even begun to investigate isn't bias. He thinks promising to stop someone he is supposed to be fairly investigating from ever becoming president isn't bias. He thinks talking about an insurance policy to keep someone from becoming president isn't bias. That's for one of the folks he was investigating. He has a different set of rules for others that he's investigating. Agent Strzok thinks saying someone he is allegedly investigating should be elected president 100 million to zero before he ever interviews her. He doesn't think that's bias. Agent Strzok thinks pronouncing someone innocent before bothering to interview more than 30 different witnesses isn't bias. He thinks claiming you can smell the Trump supporters isn't bias, but he doesn't say a single solitary word about being able to smell the support of any other candidate. To him, that isn't bias. The moment Special Counsel Bob Mueller found out about Peter Strzok's text and emails, he kicked him off of the investigation. But that was a year and a half too late. The text and the emails may have been discovered in May of 2017, but the bias existed and was manifest a year and a half before that, all the way back to late 2015 and early 2016. So it wasn't the discovery of texts that got him fired. It was the bias manifest in those texts that made him unfit to objectively and dispassionately investigate. So if the bias existed in late 2015 and early 2016, and it did, his unfitness to investigate existed then as well. Agent Strzok struggled to define bias for the better part of 10 hours. For the rest of us, bias is the prejudging of a person, a group, or a thing. It usually has a negative connotation, but it is a preconceived position or a prejudgment. It is the making up of your mind ahead of time based on anything other than the facts, and that is exactly what he did. Bias is saying Hillary Clinton should win the presidency 100 million to zero when she was still under investigation, wasn't even the nominee hadn't been interviewed, and 30 other witnesses had also not been interviewed. In March of 2016, Agent Strzok had Clinton winning 100 million to zero, even though the investigation was far from being over. That is the prejudging of someone's innocence before all the evidence is in. On the other hand, he said Trump would be destabilizing, called him an idiot, abysmal, bigoted nonsense, called him a disaster, said he should F himself. Strzok promised to stop Trump from becoming president before the investigation even began. He talked longingly of Trump resigning 2 months after he was inaugurated and well before the special counsel investigation even began. Strzok even talked about impeachment the day special counsel was appointed. That is prejudging guilt, it is prejudging punishment, and it is textbook bias. We live in a 50-50 country, and we accept that. But we're a 100% country when it comes to having law enforcement that doesn't prejudge innocence before investigations are over and doesn't prejudge guilt and punishment before an investigation even begins. Agent Strzok had Hillary Clinton winning the White House before he finished investigating her. Agent Strzok had Donald Trump impeached before he even started investigating him. That is bias. Agent Strzok may not see it, but the rest of the country does, and it's not what we want, expect, or deserve from any law enforcement officer, much less the FBI.
There you go. Part of the opening statement. It wasn't all, but it was part of the opening statement from Trey Gowdy.
Well, and spelling out, when you look at that.
Tough to refute.
Yeah, when you listen to that, it really spells out how ridiculous pretty much everything that followed in terms of the answers from Strzok really were. And we're doing that in hindsight, you know, so. But I think there was a lot of that. For those of us, whether you're a news hound or you do what we do for a living, you knew what to expect from this session. There was not going to be anything different. And you fully expected it to go the way it went. Predictable, if nothing. But it is, and Trey Gowdy is very good at this. Setting those facts very clear as to what that setting was and still is now in its denial. And that is the ridiculous notion that there was no bias and the ridiculous notion that anyone would believe that that bias wasn't at play every day that Strzok was on the job at the FBI.
And was pointed out during the testimony, and this is, you know, something that we have, you know, brought up on the show, and we brought it up before, is that he was using to send these texts. He's absolutely biased and hateful texts, because it's not just not just political bias, not just, you know, I would rather her be in than him be in. It was his hatred towards the president that he had the candidate at the time. And then when he became president, it was both that he would send on his work device to people that he worked with while he was at work investigating the candidate.
Yeah.
And the fact that he, as an investigator, as we said earlier, but I think it's worth repeating, the fact that he, as a seasoned, experienced investigator, did not understand how that is completely and totally improper in any investigation simply for the fact that it can be used against you by a defense attorney later on. The fact that he couldn't see it because his hatred was just so great that he had to get it out at work with other employees on his work device while his major job was investigating that person, that his hatred was coming out against, shows you he was not fit to be the an investigator. He is not a fit FBI agent.
No.
Because a professional does not do that. At the minimum, a professional doesn't do that. And that's why yesterday Peter Strzok was not believable. Because police investigators that I've ever met know what they can do and what they can't do, what will help an investigation, what will hurt an investigation. And any idiot in Police Investigation 101 knows you cannot show at work with employees in emails, in text messages, in things that can be collected and will be collected by the government, that you cannot show that kind of bias and that kind of hatred towards the person that you are investigating, because a defense attorney will come and use that against you with the jury.
You're undermining your own personal mission.
You're undermining your own investigation.
Mm-hmm.
That right there alone is damning enough to destroy any type of credibility that he had.
Yeah.
And when you break it down like that, the Democrats have nothing. And remember, you can break it down to Democrats like that, as was done yesterday, and they will still say that Peter Strzok deserves a Purple Heart. And they will applaud him.
Yeah.
When he decides, my only defense is to go back to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Jimmy Stewart and try to give some patriotic thing where I talk about that the FBI, the whole FBI and agents like me have credibility and integrity, and imply that if you insult me, you're insulting the entire FBI.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then he gets nice applause from the Democrats.
Yay!
For that. Just amazing. As I called it, and I'll call it again, that was a lawless response from Democrats yesterday. It is indefensible what they did. And when you break it down, no Democrats can argue the points that we have made on tonight's show, and many, not all, but many of the Republicans made yesterday. You can't debate.
No, there is no way around it. To imply, based on the facts, to try and defend Strzok and say there's no bias there. I saw some of the reaction. Well, there's no proof of bias. Okay, fine. If you're going to look away completely, then just put your head in the sand.
Yeah, actually, the proof of bias is the fact that he did it at work with other employees, knowing how an investigator is supposed to act right there, as was brought up by a couple of, I think Radcliffe brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
That showed the bias right there.
Mm-hmm.
None of it was unacceptable bias. That was right there. You're telling other FBI employees that are involved in the investigation, involved in it, because those were the two top investigations. You're using your work. You, if you are involved an investigator in behavior that could sabotage your own investigation,
right?
You don't have any credibility.
Well, and on top of that, the idea, well, there was from the IG report, there was we found evidence of bias, but no evidence that it was ever used. Really? So why did he change the language in the email investigation regarding Hillary? That's action. Because it went from language that is legal and part of the code, part of the law itself, to something that is basically just a comment. Now, effectively, the actions are the same, the behavior is the same, but legally, when they are defined with the words that were first used, it becomes, that would have become something different for Hillary Clinton.
That's the one, and I believe you can make a point, and this was not made by the inspector general, but if you are so hateful and so biased about the person that you are investigating that you make it public in areas that you know can be recorded and were recorded, that can be used by a defense attorney to destroy your investigation because of how you communicated with other investigators or other people in your office about your hatred, your absolute vile hatred for the person that you are investigating. That is bias that has affected the investigation. Why? Because you have potentially sabotaged your own investigation in the future when a defense attorney gets a hold of that information. And that has really never been brought up.
Right.
Brought up a little bit yesterday, but not said in that same exact way. If your hatred is so bad that you get to that point, the bias is affecting your investigation.
Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Trying to get through the hot summer months with a broken AC system can be miserable and completely unnecessary. With the help of pre-trip inspections and common warning signs, you'll know if your AC system is starting to fail. When your AC starts to die out and problems start occurring internally, your truck will let you know. Pay attention to the following signs that may indicate your AC system needs to be serviced. The air your AC is blowing out is only slightly cooler than the exterior air. Your engine doesn't heat up quickly, nor at all. The air smells musty of mold or mildew. Your heater blows cold air while your AC blows warm air. Knowing these warning signs can help you avoid getting sidelined by a broken AC system this summer.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric, let's go to Jim in Toledo first, because Jim may be challenging the analogy that I use by daring to compare the Jimmy Stewart speech and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington to Peter Strzok. And I might have picked the wrong speech. Did I, Jim?
Well, maybe you did. I'm not sure. It all depends on how you viewed it. But it seems like to me it was more reminiscent of Otter's speech from Animal House.
It really was comical, wasn't it, Jim? I mean,
that's a great point.
If you take all the facts, the things that we know to be true in this entire case, and you listen to him in that little rant, it really was almost like an SNL or, as you mentioned, Animal House moment.
I am sorry for attempting to destroy the memory of Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It really was the Otter speech from Animal House.
Yes.
What a great analogy.
That's the way I viewed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. That just...
Yeah, because it is comical. I mean, it's laughable. And when you hear it, it's almost like, really, dude? Really? Because
here's buy that.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly. And you know why he did that. And when you respond to a Trey Gowdy, and I'm sure he was told this, Trey Gowdy is going to come at you like no other. He's going to be your worst enemy today. He's going to really humiliate you in a way that you're not going to be able to get over. So you got to come up with something in kind of some kind of response. And thanks, Jim. And that's the way I took that. Is that you're going to basically have to try and overcompensate. But when he did, it just, well, he looked like Otter.
Well, the part of the speech you did relate between Otter and him is they did both take liberties.
Yes, that's
yes,
true.
They both took liberties. That was true. Both part. Yes.
anytime, 24 hours a day. Say, Alexa, play Red Eye Radio, and we thank you.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, some of the stories we've got to make sure that we get to. This is from Fox News. Mm-hmm. Democrats who drafted a bill to abolish ICE suddenly announced Thursday night that they would vote against it if the legislation went to the floor. Mm-hmm. After House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy told Fox News he intended to call their bluff. Mm-hmm. They wanted to have a vote on it. We know Speaker Paul Ryan is not serious about passing our Establishing a Humane Immigration Enforcement System Act, so members of Congress, advocacy groups, and impacted communities will not engage in this political stunt.
Okay.
Said three of the congresspeople told The Hill and other news outlets who sponsor the bill. If Speaker Ryan puts our bill on the floor, we plan to vote no, and will instead use the opportunity to force an urgently needed and long overdue conversation on the House floor. McCarthy said earlier Thursday he would place the bill to abolish ICE on the House floor later this month.
Hmm.
So there you go. But apparently they introduced the bill. But since apparently they can't get Paul Ryan's vote, because what they said was, we know Paul Ryan is not serious about passing our... Well, it doesn't matter whether Paul Ryan is.
Right.
You put the bill in. You know the majority
right.
is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in. You put the bill in. Why did you put the bill in?
Did you ever expect it to pass?
Right.
Did you expect it to go anywhere?
But you wanted
because
to,
is that not political? Is that not doing the same thing you're accusing Republicans of doing?
I know if I was in the minority party in Congress and I put in a bill that I knew the majority wouldn't pass, why would I put that bill in? Two reasons. I would put that bill in to show my constituents that this is where I stand, and then I would push for a vote. So everybody would be put on record.
Right.
Well, it seems like the Democrats wish to just play the game number one, which is we'll put the bill in as if we do care, but we won't vote yes on it. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
We won't vote yes on it. Why not? If you believe you're right, who cares if the Republicans don't agree with you? This is the hypocrisy, the disingenuousness of the Democrats right there. They're being disingenuous.
We want to appease some of our constituents by showing them
right.
we're really not serious.
But we don't dare want to be caught voting yes on abolishing ICE, because then that can be used against us in a future election. And that we can't do.
Yeah, meaningful discussion on the floor means nothing. You're not willing to go on the record on a bill that you put together?
That you put together and introduced.
Come on.
These Democrats are political cowards.
Man, they totally...
Would you ever... Let me ask you this question, Eric. Would you ever, if you were a congressperson, would you ever
be
vote
afraid?
Against a bill that you introduced?
No.
Never.
No.
I wouldn't introduce a bill unless under any circumstances I wasn't going to vote for it.
Right.
I would vote for any bill that I ever introduced, and it didn't matter if I was in the minority and the majority. I would expect. Here's the whole point. We know Speaker Paul Ryan is not serious about passing our bill. Well, then that's why you should introduce it and vote for it.
So you can tell your constituents
that Paul Ryan is wrong.
He's wrong. They voted against this. So this is why we need you to vote for more of us. You make that part of a national campaign even.
I have to ask this question. Mm-hmm. Does the Democratic Party in July of 2018 have any semblance of 1 ounce of kindergarten critical thinking, political or other skills?
I'm telling you, it's gone. They used to be a little bit clever, at least. Or they used to at least pretend better that they cared.
Right, but you're right. They can't even pretend anymore.
They can't even pretend they care. You know who they need to call? I feel your pain. That's who they call him. He's great at it. The biting of the lip and, you know, come on. You got to do this better.
You know, very quickly, I want to bring this up, and it's not so much the president being in Great Britain, even though I'm sure we'll talk more about that a lot next week. But we never, early in the week, never got to talk about the whole soft exit that, you know, Theresa May is talking about. There's so many different topics, and I just thought we're getting near the end of the show for the week.
Right.
I just want to bring it in. This is one of the problems that's going on right now, not just in the United States, but around the world. Mm-hmm. The voters passed Brexit. They want to get out of the European Union.
Right.
And so here you have the prime minister and those still in power basically saying, well, we're not going to get out of it fully. It's going to be a soft exit. For example, we're still going to include ourselves in all the trade and tariffs and whatever trade things the European Union comes up with. We're going to stick to those rules and regulations. They're like, no.
No, that was the whole point.
Brexit means we get out. Brexit means no other country controls the rules and regulations for our trade.
If you want to go back to the table and renegotiate trade and even make it similar between those nations individually,
right?
Then that would be. I'm speaking for those that voted for Brexit. This was the idea. And I'm sure they would say, look, go back and make a new trade deal. If you want to do trade, that's one thing. But to go and say that you're still going to be under the rules of the EU, no. That's the whole point of getting out.
It's almost as well, you know, it needs to be a soft exit. People didn't call for a soft exit, which really, when you think about it, amplifies the complaint in the first place.
Yeah, right.
It
renews it all over.
Right, it renews it. Again, all you do is, I think, motivate the pro-Brexit people, because the reason people wanted to get out, because, there's two types of globalism. There's a globalism which is free trade, which we're not against. There's a globalism of belonging to a world organization that once you get in it, unelected bureaucrats that are not accountable to the people in your country make decisions that affect your country.
Right.
So that was the big reason. What the big reason they want to get out. Wait a minute. These people in another land are making rules and regulations for us. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. We're Great Britain. We're out.
Right.
And so what happens, you make the decision, we're out. And so then your elected representatives say, we're not really going to listen to what you want. We're just going to do what we want to do anyway and not pay attention to what your vote was about.
Yeah.
Well, you're just reinvigorating those same people by saying, look, we want representation. Even if we're wrong, we want representation.
Yeah, we wanted your opinion and your official vote on this, but we really don't care now what you think. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I shook my head. I just found that amazing. So I wanted to get a couple of those stories in. Let us get back to the, I almost said Mueller investigation, the Peter Strzok hearings yesterday. Let us go to Ty in Macon, Georgia. Ty, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good.
Good. I didn't get to see very much of it, but what I did see, like y'all said, he just had an arrogance, a demeanor about him. And, you know, it's almost insulting that he thinks half of the country is supposed to believe his lies. But what really got me was the smirk he had. And I'm not a violent person. And I don't condone violence. But it just made you wish to see someone step up there and just slap that smirk right off his face.
Well, it's, you know, I'll say this. That same smirk is almost always present on the face of one James Comey. And this is Gary and I were trying to put our fingers on it, Ty. The odd, not just the odd behavior and the way they speak and the fact that they just don't sound like investigators or law enforcement at all when they speak. It's just a weird way of speaking. But then that arrogance with that smirk, and the smirk is the same smirk James Comey has basically had since he was fired. And
yeah,
and it's always there. But that's that arrogance. That is, you know, if I think of a number of things that have happened to famous people or whatever, they or maybe they become famous because they're caught doing something wrong. And I think to myself, man, if I were in that case and it were so blatant, the evidence were so clear, I can't imagine being able to face my family, much less sit in front of the American people with a smirk on my face.
It may go back to the old adage, who are they trying to convince more, us or themselves?
You know what? I love our listeners. And that's a great way to let you it go, is. Ty. That's a great, great, great observation. Because my mom used to actually say, bringing family into it, my mom used to say that, well, you sound like, young man, you sound like you're trying to convince yourself, not me. But that is that old adage where you're working a little too hard at that. And that's what that, well, it's not the Jimmy Stewart moment anymore, the Animal House moment.
The Animal House moment
was all about.
The otter moment.
Yeah, it's laughable because it was just a horrible, horrible attempt given everything we know about Strzok and his behavior at the FBI.
Again, I was watching it probably on and off like a lot of people, but I was paying more attention when I was doing errands and a bunch of different things yesterday, you know, to my phone, to social media, to keep up with it and watching the social media and the outrage that was coming from it. And then as I've got to, you know, watch a few hours of it now, you know, over the last, you know, well, over the last day or so, probably, I'm going to guess maybe maybe 3 or 4 hours of it. And you think about it, with the whole 10 hours, there was probably the questioning, maybe 30 minutes. a lot of it really was more grandstanding or people giving their analysis of it, which is why I don't like this format a lot. You and I have talked about this recently. But as I said, I didn't sense when I looked at him an arrogance of superiority that he was above the law, even though he may believe he's above the law.
Right. That may be a part of it.
That may be a part of it. Yeah. I'm just talking about my first instinct was the arrogance that he thought he could sell.
Yeah,
that he could sell truthfulness and integrity and honesty and the virtues of a good FBI agent. That was really, I'm saying, is he that arrogant where he actually believes it? Or, as our last caller said, was he really trying to convince himself?
Trying to convince himself, right.
Wow.
But I didn't see, again, we all read people differently. I saw somebody who looked tired.
Yeah.
He looked exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Poor thing.
I'm not trying to elicit sympathy.
You send 50,000 texts, first of all, your thumbs are going to have blisters. You're going to be worn out.
Well, wait a minute. That's the other thing. Forget about it. I wasn't trying to elicit sympathy. I was just my first reaction to him. But you just made a great point. When did you ever do any investigation if you were sending out 50,000 texts?
Who's got time to send out 50,000 texts? Wow. Seriously, man, you got to do speed texting or something if there is such a thing. Man, that's some pretty fast work.
You know, I probably do more Facebook Messenger with people than texts. But I'm trying to think, how many times do I text a day? Yeah, I might get into a texting with one person where we might send 20 back and forth.
Yeah,
but texting even gets tiring to me.
Well, it does. Seriously.
Well, you know why? Because on Facebook Messenger, somebody sends me something, I'll send them an emoji back.
Right. Yeah,
That expresses what I would say in a paragraph.
Right. There you go.
But I don't really. It gets tiresome. It's like, this is taking too long. I'll call the person. I don't like texting because it takes too long.
Yeah. And I enjoy the call even better. Yeah.
866. I don't want to talk to people. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So, again, these things are so long, people just, the nation will pick up just on parts of it. But overall, I didn't think that Strzok did himself any favors whatsoever yesterday.
No,
he had a few, moments where he waved the flag. Mm-hmm. But what I said, the one moment when he waved the flag and talked about his integrity and the integrity of the FBI, I think there's probably a lot of FBI agents that didn't want him comparing himself to their careers.
Right.
Just a guess.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90 Red Eye. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here. You know, as we have talked about the Peter Strzok hearings yesterday, before the House Judiciary Committee, it was 10 hours long, so it was very tough for everybody to watch every single moment, and I've been discovering new audio cuts as we go along, and I was just going through some, I was going through different audio. I found one from Reuters, which was just they called it a highlight reel, and it's 18 minutes long. We're not going to play the whole thing, but it's 18 minutes long, but I just said, okay, let me just go through it, and I want to play... I'm going to play a couple of audio cuts, but it's the one where Peter Strzok attempts to justify one of his texts and why he said something.
Okay.
And it's interesting because the first reaction you may have is one thing, but then the second reaction is something completely different. But here it is. This is just a number of audio cuts, and we'll stop it after we get to the point where we can make our point. But here we go. All
right. But I strongly believe today's hearing is just another victory notch in Putin's belt and another milestone in our enemy's campaign to tear America apart. 8 days into your Russian collusion with the Trump campaign investigation, and you got another text from your colleague, Lisa Page. Trump's not ever going to become president, right? And you replied, no. No, he's not. We'll stop it. You're the lead investigator. You originated the investigation. And here you are before you've interviewed a single solitary witness saying, F Trump. Mr. Gowdy, those personal expressions of my observing the political process of the presidential primaries had no bearing on my actions of any investigation. You need to understand that that was written late at night, off the cuff, and it was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero. And my presumption, based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States. It was in no way, unequivocally, any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral.
All right. It's right there.
There's your motive.
Wait, there's your motive
just
right there.
You justified
it. The first thing that you have, and if you see him, it's probably some of the most animated that he got and angry of the entire 10 hours that of the hours that I've seen so far, because you can see it in his face. I mean, his face is contorting. He's
right.
And as he continues to talk about what Trump, you can see him getting angrier and angrier, and that's the entire point right there.
So your anger didn't play out at work? Because that would be, if you believe your anger was justified, then wouldn't you believe, because he's been, what he was implying here, and his answer in the past has been, we, meaning the American people, would stop him. not me. And, you know, he was implying that it would be America. America would not stand for this kind of person as a president. Well, then you must also, I think it's logical from that to say that you believe that this man must be stopped.
Well,
that,
look,
that
see,
there must be a justified, and you have a justifiable reason to go to work to stop him.
And that point is a solid point. But to me, it's a totality of everything. It's not the actual point of and the specifics of what he meant by stop it. It is a totality of everything. And the number of emails that he sent while at work, while on his work device, sending them to somebody else who is extremely close to the top echelon of the FBI. He's talking to other FBI personnel on his personal device at work, and you can see the anger. And his whole point is his bias didn't influence him. And then you get to the point of, is it believable when you see the anger that he has at Trump, the fury that he has in Trump, and you can see it in his face. And again, nobody can ever get inside of his brain, but it's the believability of the viewer, just like it is the believability of a jury
right.
for a particular person. And you saw how angry, and he still is today, and how you can call it hateful, spiteful, whatever it is, that Donald Trump won. And he was willing to make that public, not only at work, many, many times, mm-hmm. hundreds of times a day at times with other FBI employees. But you could see the anger right here where he's attempting to defend himself. I don't think he helped himself there.
No, and it's because you're showing and he just tried to justify how angry he was. So you were angry at this person. Well, from that, you could easily follow that to the next stage, as you mentioned. Now you take that to work. I mean, you're talking about communicating with someone else inside the agency on a regular basis, a number of times with this kind of language. Keep in mind, he's justified his anger. Now, on top of that, look at his actions. He's changed the very legal language in the Hillary investigation to something that was more of an observation. Doing that, knowing, of course, he can't remember doing it. It was done from his computer, but maybe, I don't know, somebody hacked it. And he knows changing that language because it was the language actually in the Espionage Act that he changed it from to something that is basically just an observation.
And going, looking at it, take the partisanship out of it, looking at it strictly from an investigative and law enforcement point of view. And this was sort of touched upon, but not hit as heavily, I think, as we have done on today's show. The fact that he was willing, he was so angry, because anybody knows that when you're doing an investigation, any investigator, that you have to show that you have no implicit bias of the person that you are investigating. So even if you do, even if you don't like the person, you're not going to put it on an official government device that is going to be recorded and can be used back. You don't write emails. If you're in a murder investigation, you don't write emails or send texts to your other investigators saying, I want to get this guy, or we've got to get this guy. Mm-hmm. Whether it's we or I or whatever it is, still can be used by a defense attorney. And so if you're only worried about the investigation, you're not bringing your personal observations, your personal hatred, your personal dislike on a consistent basis, day in and day out, when you are a lead investigator of the subject that you are investigating. Right there shows he had an unacceptable bias because he was willing to do it at work on his work device with other FBI employees who were involved in the same investigation that he was.
Right.
That is completely and totally unacceptable.
Right.
Right there. That shows that bias did hit his investigation because he was so angry that he couldn't keep his mouth shut at work.
Right.
And it became something that a defense attorney in any other investigation would absolutely use with the jury to show the absolute bias against the personal dislike from the lead investigator towards the person he's investigating before they even started the investigation.
And during,
before they knew whether he was guilty or not of anything.
Yeah, and during the testimony, admitted and justified his anger toward this person.
Right. In the office.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds, thousands of times. Hundreds of times, sometimes in a day. And that's why you have to look at the totality of all of the evidence, and then it's not believable. And when he lost it, when I just saw, and I've just seen that audio cut here in the last 15 minutes, I went, whoa. Because the first thing is, oh, okay, he was justified. Oh, no, wait a minute.
No.
He's not just an average politician. He's the lead investigator on it. Look how angry he still is at Trump. Mm-hmm. Look how furious he is. Look how he's trying to justify his anger and his communication with other FBI employees at work on a work device. How furious he is at the person that he's investigating.
Mm-hmm.
That's complete unprofessionalism of an FBI investigator. And any FBI investigator listening right now knows that. Totally and completely unprofessional. That could destroy your case later on when the defense attorney tells the jury, this person doesn't have a bias. Are you kidding me?
Right.
So there you go. I wanted to play that little portion of it because I really thought that was telling. Because you could see. And again, on television, it's one thing to say it. When you watch him, when you can see his face. By the way, it was interesting because I was looking at his lawyers behind him. So I'm just trying to see if I could read anything, if they were thinking, don't do this.
Well, because you're demonstrating that the motive not only was there at the time, you're admitting that, and you're demonstrating, in fact, that hatred is still there.
Right.
It would be one thing if he calmly said, you know, at the time I was reacting to something. By the way, he's explaining why he did something he can't remember.
Yes.
Another problem and hole in this massive batch of lies that he told during testimony. But it would be one thing if he said calmly, you know, I'd seen something and I reacted something to something that was in the news and it was just hyperbole. And, you know, and I thought for sure America would not allow this guy to be president. But that's not what you heard. And by the way, as you mentioned, when you see it, the look on his face, that's not what you see. You see that hatred and anger still there.
And that anger's coming out of an incident that happened, what? 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And that's the entire point. Because mm-hmm. you can recognize, yeah, I was angry at the time because of this, this, this.
Yeah.
No, you can see it. It's still there.
Right.
Very, very, very telling. And I was wondering, because then they show Trey Gowdy just sitting back, and I'm thinking, does Trey Gowdy look weak? Because that's your instant. And I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute.
No, let him go.
He's a prosecutor saying, let him go.
Let him go.
Making my point.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lower average prices than previously projected for just about every major crop. That's the consistent theme in Thursday's round of USDA Crop Report's main reasons. Generally, larger plantings for many crops and those Chinese tariffs. Soybeans showing the effects of both. First, USDA upping its production projection by 30 million bushels to 4.3 billion, reducing the export forecast by 250 million bushels because of the tariffs, increasing the ending stocks forecast by 190 million, slashing the projected average price 75 cents down to 9 and a quarter a bushel, 15 cents less than the this past season. For corn, 14.2 billion bushel crop expected, 200 million more than the previous forecast. Analysts projecting record exports, but they did take a dime off the price projection, now at 380 a bushel, still 40 cents better than this past season. Wheat, surveys show a 6% smaller winter wheat crop than a year ago on the smallest harvested acreage ever, but spring wheat output could grow by 48% from a year ago, making all wheat stocks larger, prices a dime lower than previously projected at an even $5. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara on the Peter Strzok hearings. Let's head to you, and we go to Mark in Alabama. Mark, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
At one point, they already tripped him up where he said he didn't recall, and then another time he said it was late at night when they asked him the same question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
they've
yeah.
already caught him in a lie, you know, a half truth or whatever.
Well, he actually caught himself within a minute audio cut that we played earlier, where he said didn't recall it, but then was talking about his mood and why he was doing it, and he did it again there because that was on the same topic where he talked about it. So he did that a few times I don't recall doing it. But he knew when he did it and the reasoning behind it and everything else. It's like, well, the two don't mix. Go ahead.
Right. And what can actually come of these things? I'm curious, is there any prosecution or anything that come of these? Because before now, there's not been any really teeth in any of the things that we wanted to get done.
Well, you know, it's obviously a lot of it is about the narrative changing. You know, the real work that's being done right now, I mean, if we don't know actually what's being done, but the Mueller team and the special prosecutor, we don't know if that's working in Trump's favor or if it's working against Trump. If he's going down the road that you would logically go down and investigate the basis of the investigation, which would be those FISA warrants and the justification for those warrants, then the cases would fall apart very quickly. Then on the other side of that, if he's going down the Manafort, road where it has nothing to do with Trump or the campaign itself, really, or the election, it's more about trying to make him look bad by going after some associates on unrelated things. So the orange jumpsuit moment for Peter Strzok, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I'm very doubtful about that, but certainly the American people knowing the truth.
Well,
here's where it pays off. And
number one, McCabe is being investigated, as we know.
Well, and there could be something that comes out of it, but
by the Justice Department,
right? And in the court of public opinion, we said this about Hillary after July 5th, when Comey said no reasonable prosecutor, blah 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 blah. What really mattered. Not that anyone is above the law, but do you feel better having her behind bars or do you feel better not having her in the White House? And that's often, not always, and it may not be here, but that's often the payoff. And that is the court of public opinion. The American people need to see this demonstrated. A lot of it is kind of over the top, but when you break it down into the comments that are made and you step away from it, and we'll be digesting a lot of this over the weekend as well, Mark, and thank you for your call. You break it into basically building the case against him and then, again, showing what the culture was and the behavior was at the FBI at that time. And it's important. For Omnitrax, Here's your forecast.
Heat will be building back into the northeast by Sunday in New York City. We'll be back into the 90-degree range. We'll start to pick up some rain showers today as we get into the Carolinas and the Georgia coastline. A better chance of showers for the midsection of the country today. Things could get a little intense from South Dakota, Iowa, Kansas, the Central Plains set to receive a good amount of showers. And then another unlikely area for showers today, which could be heavy at times, the desert southwest. I-10 dry until you get into the Arizona border with New Mexico. By the time you're in California, things are dry up along the coast all the way into Seattle. Gulf Coast showers are possible from eastern Texas over to Tallahassee. You could run into some heavy showers between Jackson and Memphis on I-55. That'll extend over to Little Rock on I-40. There's your kickoff to this weekend summer forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here. A couple of things we want to bring up, but before we get to that, I mean, just to address the last caller, we get this every time we bring this up. Well, nothing's ever going to be done about it. Well, what's the charges going to be? I don't know. Yeah. What I care about is getting as much of the truth out. We know a lot more this year than we did last year. Yeah. Now, when you go day to day, people are dissatisfied because what we knew last week is what we know now is not a great deal more than maybe what we knew 2 or 3 days ago. And people want instant solutions. It doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. We now know what we didn't know a year and a half ago.
Right.
We now know that the only party that colluded in any way with the Russians, where there is evidence, is the Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign. We wish that the Republicans would promote that more, but for some reason they do not. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is search for what the truth is. It's all I can search for.
The truth is
all
out
I can
there.
Search for. And the truth, exactly. And so that's what we're doing. Can't predict what's going to happen.
No.
Can't predict what's going to happen to Straw. Can't predict what's going to happen to McCabe or Comey. Both McCabe and Comey now also under investigation. Straw is under Inspector General in investigation. Still got disciplinary action coming, apparently, from the FBI. What that will be, we don't know. But the fact is, we now know a heck of a lot more than we did. We know that there are failings in the FBI, which we did not know a year and a half ago. We now know there's incredible bias in the FBI, which we didn't know a year and a half ago. We learn things. There is a party, and you saw it yesterday, the Democrat Party, that doesn't care. They cheered Strzok. They said he should get the Purple Heart.
Do they even know what the Purple Heart is for?
They might not. I mean, what an insult to any soldier out there. Think about it. This is how warped they are. This is the same party that wants to protect illegal immigrant criminals over the safety and security of American citizens. It's the same party that wishes to have open borders.
Yeah.
It's the same party that wants to get rid of ICE until you put them up to a vote, and then they back off going, well, you guys are playing politics. Yeah, but you put through the legislation to do it. I mean, they're nuts.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Right now, in July of 2018, the Democratic Party is nuts. And that's not name calling. That's an accurate description of where they are in July of 2018. They're absolutely nuts.
Well, and there was no way, and we've said it for years, there's no way to reverse the trajectory of the craziness. You couldn't.
No,
there was never a chance that they were going to go, wait a minute. Okay, let's regroup. Now, you know, you have your former mayor, Willie Brown, say, hey, you folks, maybe we need to. No. You have your Tim Ryan. Maybe we need to. No. Nope. Nope. And they wonder why Trump keeps winning. Seriously. They wonder why. They're scratching their heads and have been since election night. Well, they were more crying on election night and maybe the day after and 3 or 4 days later. But they've been scratching their heads trying to figure it out. Remember for the 10 seconds when they went, maybe we need to get out of the urban areas and go into the rural areas and visit people. Hey, let me buy some coveralls on Amazon. Oh, no, never mind. I'm not going to do that. As if they were ever going to change who they are.
For everything that President Trump does that's wrong or stupid, as we said earlier, the Democrats go, hold my beer.
Yeah.
As the new saying. Well, it's relatively new. Hold my beer. Watch me.
Mm-hmm.
And then people look at Trump and say, well, he's completely... Well, he's not completely and totally accurate and sane, but these people are nuts.
Well, here's the
thing. They're completely and totally nuts.
Yeah.
He's eccentric in his own way. I don't like his language. It's too salty. Yeah, he doesn't get facts right all the time. He should edit his Twitter feed and pay more attention to it and get an editor for that. Yeah, some of the things I believe he says are unacceptable, but basically he has the same beliefs. These people over here, insane nuts.
Crazy. Well, what was it? We talked about the yesterday, the poll, best presidents in your lifetime.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you made the very brilliant point. Millennials didn't say Reagan because that's not their lifetime. It was Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, basically.
Yeah.
So, surprise, millennials said the two Democrats of their lifetime. But I was thinking of, because there was something else that came out. Oh, there were other stories related to that poll. And it had inevitably all of the very flattering pictures of the former president, Barack Obama. You notice when it's Trump, it's never flattering, right? It's not even the party of Barack Obama. On a lot of the ideas, yes. I mean, he got that snowball rolling. Well, helped it keep going, I guess, in many ways. But I'm talking about the reactionary element of the party.
Well, you would say the optics, even if President Obama was radical, the optics was calm and in
ideas,
control. The idea might have been nuts.
The idea is radical.
But it was presented in a calm and rational
and
tone.
The reaction, because this is what was appealing to a lot of those Democrats who really didn't care about anything politics and didn't know the three branches of the government and probably still don't. But he looked cool. Well, but the reactionary element has gone so far. You know, they said fireworks. Somebody was tweeting, I was following yesterday during the whole thing as the Strzok thing began and said, you know, watch out for, you know, okay, here come the fireworks was the comment. And I thought to myself, there's going to be plenty of that from Republicans. But look at the fireworks since Election Day 2016 from the left. And it really has been over the top.
Well, yeah, as we talked about, you know, President Obama could say something insane, completely and totally insane, like he did when he said that race is a social construct, that he's come to know that race is a social construct. Yeah. And he said, well, I've come to know race as a social construct. So he said it in a calm manner. Yeah. But what he was saying was, well, anybody who's black can be white if they wish, and anybody who's white can be black. Well, you know something? That's nuts! But he said it in a very calm and rational way. So people said, well, he's actually thinking. He's contemplating. What was the word? Grappling.
He's grappling.
He's grappling with it. And therefore, he is a thinker. No, he's nuts.
What he was trying to do is not be overreactionary like they're doing today.
He just the idea was completely nuts, but he said it in a way. And now the emotion of insanity we're seeing with the ideas of insanity.
Yeah,
what we're seeing.
You know who he was in his demeanor. The way I see it, he was like Putty from Seinfeld, because it would be remember the edict that came down from the joint edict from the Department of Education and the Justice Department on transgender students. And it didn't require anything except that the child goes to the office, tells the office, the administration of that school, I want to be known as this person. So now you're going to have to call me a different name. And if I go on a road trip, you're going to have to, and by the rules, you're going to have to, if there's a road trip and I appear to be a boy, but I say I'm a girl, you're going to have to put me in this. You can't make separate accommodations. You're going to have to put me in the same accommodations as the girls. And we were breaking that down. And it was as if the Obama administration was trying to Putty that whole thing.
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
What do you mean you didn't say that? It says it right here in the edict.
I don't know what that says. The edict's something different. That came from the Justice Department. I'm the president.
You're doing a pretty good Putty.
Well, it was that just steady and really just kind of almost mundane.
Yeah.
Approach to the answers, because remember when he made the comment about the mop, and he goes, you know, and then he made the joke, it's a socialist mop.
Yes.
And then, because back then, at that time, you know, before Bernie ran in 2016, socialist, we were being told by the left, socialism and socialist is the new N-word. Because if you're applying it to the first black president, who is no longer Bill Clinton, it's Barack Obama, then that is the same as the N-word. Well, and then he joked about it one time, not the N-word part of it, but the word socialist, and he goes, you know, something, cleaning up after Bush, basically. You know, I had to use a really big mop. It's a socialist mop. And it was that, again, cool demeanor.
Oh, yeah, I got a socialist mop.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did that.
He kind of swept it under the rug.
He did the same thing. I mean, if he would have, it would have been, you know, a Farrakhan in his over-the-top, emotional way, animated way of saying things. If Obama,
Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
And said the same thing, that Christians need to get off their high horse because of the Crusades, in essence, saying that Christians of today aren't too far away from radical terrorist Islam.
Mm-hmm.
That was a comparison he was trying to make. If he had said it more animated way, he would have sounded crazy.
Right.
But it was almost ignored by the media because he just said it. The conservatives picked up on it, but he just, you know, sort of saying it. But that statement in itself was nutty. It was a crazy statement.
Right.
Christians in no way today resemble anything like the terrorists that use Islam as their reason for committing horrible acts of terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said, because of the Crusades, what, 800 years ago?
Right.
What? That's nuts.
Right.
But he said it in a calmer manner.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's okay. Now that's gone with the Democrats. Right. That's gone.
Right.
Now it's the emotion.
No, the lid is off.
The crazy emotion with the crazy idea is now together.
Yes.
They need to find somebody who can promote that's what they need. We just figured it out. They need somebody who can promote the crazy ideas of July of 2018, but do it in a very soft manner and tone.
High five.
Putty 2020.
Okay.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, you need a tuning solution? What's new from Bully Dog? Justin Burt from Bully Dog has the details.
So we've got a couple of turbos now. We've got a Stage 1 Detroit turbo for some of the guys out there running the Detroit power plants. It is a stock style, but it's non-wastegated. So you're going to build a little more boost, a little more quick in the RPM range. You're going to make that power a little sooner than you will with the stock turbo. We've also got our CAT Stage 1 turbo, which is a 78-millimeter billet unit. And it also comes in a 132 exhaust housing that's been popular for some of our CAT guys, but we've also got this Stage 2 coming. Those should land in the warehouse sometime in the 1st of May and be ready to ship out in the weeks following. So that is also a 78-millimeter billet unit, but it actually has a 145 exhaust housing. So you're going to make a little more power, you're going to make a little less heat, and you're going to use a little bit less boost to make more power. So it's definitely a more efficient unit. We've been working on it for a while. We've listened to some of these guys out here making a little more power than stock, and this is that option for them. So the website, bigrig.bullydog.com. You can check out our Facebook page for applications and announcements for product support, and our Instagram as well.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. What's coming up next week? What's in the news? I'm just trying to think. What's anything big? Oh, the World Cup this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, so let me repeat the question. What's coming up of interest?
It's those two words. That make the difference.
Well, we'll find out more, where the president's going with NATO. NATO and more in Great Britain.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the flying Trump baby. Have you seen that?
Yeah, the balloon's been flying over the last few hours there.
I saw that,
In England. Yeah, yeah.
Yawn.
And he says, I don't feel welcome there, which is kind of a given. You know, he wasn't going to be welcome. Someone in the parliament was moving to, what was it? Ban him at one point?
Mr. President, you live in D.C.
Yeah. You're a billionaire.
Trust me, when you're back in the private sector. No, you live in D.C.
What? Oh, you're not welcome there?
Come on. Is there a more Democrat place in the country?
Than most of California. I mean, we can. There's a large, large geographical area where you're not welcome, Mr. President. But we think you'll get through it. By the way,
come to Texas. Not Austin, though.
Yeah. Be careful of Austin. Be careful, Mr. President.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.